Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, they can eat in the morning.
You know why they yawning, yawning.
Why they yawning, yawning, yawning.
Talk to him.
Come on, eat.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Ain't got way about that.
We loosen the movement.
Lethoric.
It's happening. Colossal. Our destiny is greatness.
Talk to him.
Talk
yes,
to
sir.
Him.
Here we go.
That's right, baby. We are back, and it is Motivational Monday, and we are ready to go today. B, what's up with you, E? What's going on?
I'm all
on,
good,
brother?
Boy.
Yes,
I'm all
sir,
good.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
All good. It's week two. Here we go. This
That's
is
it,
baby.
Motivational
Another Motivational Monday.
Monday. Yes, sir. Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah.
That's right. It is here. It is here in front of us. Okay? It's Monday, people. Get up and on your feet. Ain't no time to be asleep. That's right. That's right. Listen.
Oh, yeah.
Before
oh, yeah.
Get started. We want to let everyone know that the Baton Rouge officers and their families, the district police officers, across this country, they're in our prayers. They're in our prayers, and we will continue to pray for a word or phrase that'll last you 7 days. You'll get it later. You got anything for us, E, before we jump right into this? Because I think we both are going to eat this analogy alive.
You know, I wish I did. I feel like there's something I need to be saying. It's the beginning of the week. It's the beginning of the show. It's Motivational Monday. But no, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it, good brother. Listen, when we do Motivational Monday, for all of our new listeners, what we do is we take this quote. We take a quote from someone, anyone that has said something worth taking, and we dissect the quote, and the quote, it dictates the direction and the culture of our show. And once we dissect the quote, we hit you with a couple of different segments, the scripture of the week, the post pick or tweet of the week, and we hit you with a word or phrase that should last you 7 days, all right? Unless I tell you on Tuesday, like last week, and it'll last you 6 days. But that's neither here nor there. Today it'll last you 7, lest we bore you anymore. Motivational Monday starts right now. Hit him with the quote, E.
When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. That's the quote of the day. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it, by Henry Ford. The quote of the day. When I first saw this quote yesterday, I saw it for the first time, and I said, man, this is just such a good analogy, that the airplane takes off against the wind, much like you do. And I said, man, it fits into a category of good analogies. almost like the smooth surface that becomes smoother when you brush it against rough sandpaper, or, you know, a myriad of similar analogies. You know, I always thought that I needed more opposition. I mean, at least from people. And now, I've for a while, and it's not that I've succeeded much in my mind, but I just have always felt like I could be succeeding more if I had more people against me or more people throwing things at me. You know, it seems like everyone always says that you know you're somebody when you've got haters, or you know you've got a future ahead of you, you know you've got a lot coming your way when people are hating on you. And every time I would hear someone say that, a preacher, a motivational speaker, anybody, I'd say, man, I don't think any haters are concerned about me. So maybe I should be concerned. I'm like, am I not worth haters? I just always wondered that. And it seems like sometimes that maybe people don't have as many haters as they make it seem. That's what I realized. People search for chips to put on their shoulders. I would tell you all the time, Nick, about Devontae Graham from the NCAA tournament last year. Kansas beat Kentucky, and the week before Kansas played Kentucky, Devontae Graham would just soak up all of the hype about the Kentucky players. You know, they've got this guy, and they've got that guy, and they can do this offensively, and he can do that offensively. And they would talk about most specifically the guy that he would be going up against. And he would take all that talk personally. Every time he heard someone give them hype, he would take that as, oh, well, he can't stop him, because nobody mentioned Devontae Graham from Kansas. Nobody said anything about him. He's like, well, you know, no one's talking about me. They talked about me before, but now that we're going up against Kansas, no one's talking about me. He's putting chips on his shoulder. I remember when LeBron made his decision to go to Miami after leaving Cleveland in 2010. And after he made that decision live on SportsCenter, the first thing I remember tweeting was that LeBron and the Miami Heat just made 1,000 fans, and they just made 1 million haters. The haters, the opposition, is important. Now, really quickly, and I'm gonna get going here, and I'm gonna hand it over. But really, really quickly, I just want to say that one day, a little less than a year ago, I was headed to New York, and I was with three other comedians. This is not usually how I travel. I usually travel by myself. But we were going up there to do this NBC audition. Every year they have an audition for NBC. It's called Stand Up for Diversity. And they have a lot of diverse comedians from the East Coast. You know, people come from all over the Northeast to this audition in New York. It happens once a year. It's an open call audition. Comedians come from Philadelphia. They come from Connecticut. They come from you know, New England. They come from, obviously, comedians who live in and around New York, New Jersey, D.C., and we all meet up and we line up. We make a line that goes around two or three blocks around Gotham Comedy Club in New York just to do 1 minute worth of material, just 1 minute. All of us believe that we're the best in that line, and there's hundreds of comedians in that line. And we're on our way up. I was just, you know, explaining the audition, but that has nothing to do with it. Anyway, we're in the car. We're in the car on the way to New York, and it's me and it's these three other guys. Now, one of the comedians, the comedian that I was sitting next to in the back seat, his name was Home Alone. That's his comedy name, Home Alone. And I had never met this comedian before, never met him, until we were going up to New York. The other comedians, I knew them for years at this point. And one of the comedians, I think it was, I don't know if it was Home Alone or not, but they asked, okay, well, what is your blueprint? What is your plan? What is your end game? And Home Alone looks at me first. I don't know why everyone wanted to know my blueprint for my career, but I'm the one they look at. So I say, oh, well, I let them know. I let them know exactly what I have planned and what my end game is for the next 10 years and how I plan, how I will be on HBO in 10 years. The whole plan, I give it to him. And Home Alone looks at me, and Home Alone says, well, and he says this smiling. And Home Alone's about 40 years old. And he says, well, that's unrealistic. And I'm staring back at him almost as if I can't believe he just said that to me. And I maybe I'm waiting on him to start laughing because I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this is just a joke. But he's just staring dead at me. And he said, that's unrealistic. That's nice, that's good, but that's unrealistic. And even if headlining nationally as a comedian in 10 years had not been done before, it still wouldn't be unrealistic. But the fact that it's been done, and he's looking at me and telling me that I can't do it, I wanted to unleash on him, but everybody moved on, and I didn't want to heap on it. But I told him it's not unrealistic. I asked him why he thought it was unrealistic, and everybody moved on. Other people started talking about different plans, and we just kind of moved on. But the point that I want to give you before Nick quote unquote takes off here is that's what I needed more than anything else. I don't know if I'll ever forget that moment. I needed that. My career, my life, my drive needed that. I needed someone to tell me I couldn't do it. You know, years from now, I'm going to call Home Alone. And I have his number, and I think I got his number for this specific reason and this reason only. I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him, and I'm going to let him know, not that I did it, but I'm going to call him just to say God did it. You see, opposition is important because without opposition, without people believing that you cannot do it, you have nothing to prove other than proving it to yourself. Now, yourself is not the only person that you want to prove it to if you're not there yet. Now, some people are there. They can just prove it to themselves, and they can be just fine. But other people need a contest. They need motivation externally. And I was at that point in my life where I needed something external. Impossible is not a fact. And I got this on Twitter yesterday. Someone said that impossible is not a fact, but impossible is an opinion. You need the rough sandpaper to make your surface smooth. God said that enemies, he will make them your footstool. And that was simply my problem, is that I was trying to climb. I was trying to get to the top of the fridge, but I didn't have a footstool. And God gave me a footstool. Remember that if they say it can't be done, it only means they haven't done it. Sometimes I think that greatness almost needs to be hated. How do you know that you're doing something that's going to have a big impact if no one's afraid of the impact before it happens? They hated Muhammad Ali. They hated Muhammad Ali, and he was the greatest of all time. They hated Martin Luther King, and he was the greatest of all time. They hated Michael Jackson, and he was the king of pop. They hated Nelson Mandela so much they locked him up. And he's still one of the greatest of all time. They called Barack Obama a liar. They called him a tar baby. Everything in the book. And he's the greatest president, in my opinion, that we have ever seen. Leaving the White House with a 60% approval rating. They hated LeBron James, and he got three championships. I bet they won't hate him anymore. If you want people not to hate you, then you take off against the wind, and you go opposite. Okay, 50 Cent told me, go ahead, switch the style up. But if they hate, then let them hate and watch the money pile up. What I'm saying is that the wind will blow in your face, and it'll seem like the wind is always blowing in your face. Sometimes you're walking, and it seems like the wind is always going in the wrong direction. But do you turn around and walk the way the wind is blowing? No, obviously you don't. You have to walk against the wind. And it's important that you walk against the wind. You know, sometimes I like to turn around and walk backwards so the wind is blowing in my back and not in my face. But I realize when I do that, I can't see where I'm going. So eventually I have to turn back around and the wind's blowing in my face again. But that's when I realized that this analogy doesn't pertain to walking into the wind, because in real life, you have to keep your eyes open. But in the wind of your life, you don't have to keep your eyes open, because God says you can walk by faith, not by sight. So close your eyes and walk against the wind. Go ahead, bro. I went way too long.
Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, yeah. You went ahead and took care of this quote, you know, and it's a rich quote. It's a rich analogy. I'm going to just go ahead and dissect this airplane, because when I heard this airplane, and I told E before the show, I selfishly wanted to keep it away from the listeners and save it for a sermon, because like Jesus, I preach with parables. Like Jesus, I preach with parables. I take worldly stories and give them a heavenly meaning, like Jesus. Okay, but so I wanted to save this quote or save this analogy, but it's like he said last week. It's not all about you, Nick. So I figured I would let you guys have it. Listen, the runway is yours. The runway is yours. I just want you to remember that. The title of today's show is "Are You Ready to Take Off?" But the runway is yours. Whether you're ready or not, the runway is yours. When I think about this analogy, I think about what Henry Ford is discussing when Henry Ford says that when everything seems to be against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. When I think about that, I have to do one thing. I have to focus on this airplane, because in this airplane analogy, we are the airplane. We are the airplane. And when I think about an airplane, when I think about before it's time for this airplane to take off, there's a couple things that have to happen. Okay, the airplane first is docked. Okay, everybody gets on the airplane and everything goes inside. The airplane gets ready. It gets fueled up. It gets ready to take off and to hit the runway. And once everybody's inside the plane, once it's got all its fuel, and once all the balance is good, once the situation is plain, backs out of the dock. And what I believe that means in reference to you, what I think that means is that the plane is coming out of its comfort zone. What happens is the plane is now backing up. It's going in reverse. So that means it's going where it already knows. It's backing out of the dock, but then it's got to turn the wheel. It's got to get rid of the fuel that's keeping it at 100% energy. It's got to get rid of the connection to all kinds of help, to all kinds of assistance, to all kinds of things that can weigh it down. That can you get me? When people get on the plane, there's only a certain amount of people that can get on the plane, because if there's too many people and too much baggage on the plane, it weighs it down and it makes it incapable of it taking off. So what happens is the plane's got to back away from the building so that it comes out of its comfort zone, because in its comfort zone, it's picking up bad habits. It's picking up luggage, and it's picking up people, and those people could ultimately weigh it down. So if it doesn't back out of the dock on time, what can happen is too many people can get on the plane, or too much luggage can get on the plane, and thus it won't be able to take off. So it's backing out of the dock, or, in other words, it's coming out of its comfort zone. First thing is come out of our comfort zone. You say, why do we have to come out of our comfort zone? Our comfort zone is working for us. We are comfortable here. We know what's going to happen. We are in control. The reason why you've got to come out your comfort zone is because it's in the rough areas, like E said earlier, it's the sandpaper that's going to make you better. Sure, you might be smooth right now, but some stuff is coming that's going to make you rough again. And the only way you can smoothen that thing out is if you get out of your comfort zone, if you go through a sharpener, if you're a pencil, if you have some sandpaper to smooth you out, if you're a smooth surface, the only way you're going to get better is if you got to come out of the comfort zone and go through some roughness. So you gotta come out the comfort zone. But then the next part I like that this plane does is the plane, it gets its bearings right, but then it's gotta wait its turn. Then it's gotta wait its turn. Because you see what happens is when the plane is set to take off, the plane understands, and the captain of this plane, he understands that there's other people taking off as well. And so what happens is because the plane is not in control, see, the plane is not out here fighting. The plane is not out here trying to fly itself. See, the problem with some of us is that we are afraid to give our lives, we are afraid to give where we're headed, to give our future, to give this operation takeoff to the captain. Or worse, we've got the wrong person or we've got the wrong reasons driving our airplane. See, we got to be clear about this whole thing here, y'all. When I started off giving y'all this motivation, I told you that we were the airplane, okay? But you see, Jesus is the captain, okay? You can't be out here flying your own airplane. Could you imagine if airplanes were flying themselves? You see, it's different when I say that. You'd be like, well, bro, there is. No, you're wrong. They're not. Because, see, it's a difference where you say an airplane is flying with no captain inside of it. But we've never seen a plane just take off without somebody controlling it. If they're not in the aircraft, they're back at the building controlling where the airplane goes from afar. There's always a captain to an airplane. And the problem with some of us right now is that we're trying to be the airplane and the captain. You got to be one or the other. Can't be both. You got to be one or the other. And in my airplane, Jesus is my captain. And right now, all I got to do is wait my turn because there's other people on the runway taking off. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this wait your turn. Here's the thing about this taking off. Here's the thing about Jesus being the captain. Here's the thing about being an airplane. As an airplane, you can't control what goes on around you. As an airplane, you can't control the weather. You can't control the things behind you. There's going to be storms that come. There's going to be rain that comes. There's going to be cloudy days. There's going to be foggy days. Those things you cannot control. All you can control is being ready to fly when the sunny day comes. That's part of waiting. See, you are at the dock getting fueled up. You are at the dock getting all the luggage. You are at the dock getting all the passengers. The reason why you are at the dock is because you were preparing for takeoff. You don't need to prepare for the storm. The captain's got you. You don't need to prepare for when the captain's got you. You don't have to worry about the things outside of the plane that you can't control because the captain's got you. And as long as you got a good captain flying your airplane, as long as you can trust the only captain that should be flying your airplane, as long as you're in a good space with who's in control of that airplane, then you don't have to worry about the luggage or the passengers that's coming along with you. All you got to be concerned with is being a good airplane. So you've come out of the comfort zone. Now you're waiting your turn because there's other airplanes taking off on the runway, but all of a sudden you get a green light. So now you move on round you move on round to the beginning of the runway. And then there's this delay period. There's this period where no plane is in front of you. You can't see, or you ain't worried about no plane behind you. It's just you and the runway. But you still sit there for a couple minutes, and here's why. You got to check and make sure your switches are all in the right place. You got to make sure that all the buttons and all the switches that got you to this place, that are built in your airplane, that are ultimately going to be the reason you are able to take off, you got to make sure all of those switches are in the right place. You got to make sure that they're on. You got to make sure that they're balanced. You got to make sure that they're at the right spot. You've got to make sure that the things that are driving you already. Well, what you talking about, Nick? We don't got no switches. The devil is a lie. You got to make sure your mind is right. You got to make sure that your heart is right. You got to make sure that you got the right drivers. You got to make sure that you're not worried about the people that are coming up against you. You got to make sure that you're not worried about what they said. You got to make sure that when they said you couldn't do it, you didn't believe them. You got to make sure that that was fuel and that was fire and not dust and sand and not weight to weigh you down. When you get to that runway, you got to take a second and you got to say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this because they said I couldn't. I'm going to do this because I said I could. I'm going to do this because I said I would. And when you're sitting at that runway, now all you got to do is focus up on them switches. You got to get them switches right. You got to flip all them switches on. I don't care if it's anger. I don't care if it's trust. I don't care if it's love. Whatever those switches are, you know your switches. You know if somebody says this, it's going to make you do this like you never did this before. That's the switch I need you to turn on, because it's time. It's your takeoff time. It's time for you to fly, and you're at the beginning of the runway, and all you got to do is flip on them switches.
Come on.
So now you're sitting here, and you're looking at this runway, and you're flipping on the switches. You're flipping on Home Alone. You flipping him on right in the back of your mind, and you see you flip on Home Alone, and then you flipping on Judas, because Judas did this to your captain. So now you got to flip that on, and you got to do it for the captain. And now you flipping on hatred, and now you flipping on all the times you failed. Now you flipping on all the times you made mistakes. Now you flipping on all the times that you looked adversity in the face and you went right through it, because that's all this runway is. You've been here before. You've taken off before. You've flown away. You've come out of your comfort zone when you went to college. Now you're sitting at the runway and you're saying, I'm able and I'm willing to go against the wind, to fly against adversity, to do what they said I couldn't do, to stack up against all the people stacked up against me and get it done. So you got your switches right. Your switches is right. Gas, cool. We all filled up. This is one big problem, y'all. This is one big problem. I'm sorry. It's a spiller. It changes the story up. That's all you can do. Sorry. I know you weren't expecting that, but that's all you can do. That's it. All you can do. Because, you see, the thing about an airplane is an airplane doesn't fly itself. All an airplane does is carry the passengers, the luggage. The captain does the rest.
Wow.
So if your switches are right, and the right amount of luggage is there, and you got the right amount of people bringing, or you taking the right amount of people with you where God wants you to go. I'm sorry to tell you, it's still up to God when you go. I'll be honest with you, y'all. There's been times where I sat on the runway for hours. I was ready to go. My trip was waiting for me. It wasn't rainy. It just wasn't my sunny day. It wasn't time yet. There's been times, y'all, where I got to the runway and I was looking at the runway and I was ready to go. I was on my phone. I had my switches right. I was where I was supposed to be, but the captain turned the plane around. Every passenger on the plane was confused, but the captain knew why he was turning the plane around.
Jesus
Christ. We went
back
to the comfortable zone. We had to get off the plane because something about the runway, something about the trajectory of which our plane was supposed to go in, something wasn't right. And although our minds couldn't fathom it, and although where we wanted to go was so much more important than whatever it was that deterred and turned around the plane, that didn't matter because the captain was in control of the plane, and the captain said, what I see is more important than where you want to go. The things that are up against you, we can't handle right now. You're not ready for them right now. And so as a result, I got to turn this plane around because I haven't prepared you for where this plane is going to go.
God.
Wow. But this is the thing. That doesn't matter. Because when you trust the captain knows that your switches are right. The captain knows that you're able to carry the luggage. The captain knows that you're bringing the people that he has predetermined and predestined to come with you to the destination you're going to. So all you got to do is get ready for takeoff. And you see, when you're ready for takeoff and you're at the runway and you got your switches right, it doesn't matter when you take off. It doesn't matter when the captain's ready. Because when God says go, the accelerator takes off. And you see, you can't decide when that plane starts going, it's too late. You see, because there's only two times that God moves in. Here it is, too slow or too fast. And when that plane takes off, it's going to be erupt. You better hold on to your seat because where God is about to take you, the wind coming against you don't matter. Where God is about to take you, the stuff coming up against you don't matter. What he's going to do in your life, all you got to do is have the switches ready and have your mind right and have your body right because when that plane takes off, woo! It's going to fly, and it's going to go fast. And before you know it, you're going to blink and be in the air. Before you know it, you're going to blink and be flying. Before you know it, the things you were looking at outside the window that were distracting you is going to be blurry. You're not even going to be able to focus on it. And the next thing you know, you're going to be soaring in the air. That's what I got for me.
That's good. That's greatness. Oh, that's great. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed that. There can be, for me and everyone else listening, there can be no greater start to our week. I mean, Lord have mercy. You have blessed us tremendously, my man. I don't know if you still plan on running through these segments, but we usually end Motivational Monday with three segments. I'll let you take a breather, but it's important for you to know that we have three segments and that we didn't forget. That's what I want you to know, because we might have to run them at the top of Topic Tuesday or just push them back to next Monday. I hope you've enjoyed our surprise Worship Wednesday. This is Worship Monday.
I didn't want to get that, but the captain, I couldn't leave the captain out. I couldn't crucify him. I had the captain was just too good.
The captain.
I don't want to give our live listeners a disadvantage. So I will save it for next week because I don't want to take down tear up Topic Tuesday and get in the habit of that, get in the habit of using that day for my leftovers. Listen, the word of the phrase is nonviolence, and I'll post that because the only reason I'm giving you that is because I've said that at the top of the show and you were waiting. The word or phrase that will last you 7 days is nonviolence. And that is what we're praying for. Responding with violence is not the way. It has proven not to be the way. You're taking away fathers and mothers to families, brothers and sisters. That's not okay, people. That's not okay. There is nothing that warrants that action. Nothing. There is not a thing in this world that warrants that kind of response to anything. And so it is imperative that we do not respond with nonviolence, that we do not respond with violence, and that we respond with nonviolence. I have to leave you with the word or phrase that will last you 7 days. That's all I got for me.
That's it. Martin Luther King said it best. You know, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Yep,
yes,
you
sir.
And man.
Listen,
appreciate you. Let's go.
Listen, we're getting up out of here. Listen, if you didn't, all that we gave you today from this show, we want you to at least take away this, and that is that your destiny and that Eric's destiny, that my destiny, that all of our destiny is greatness. And it's not because of you, it's not because of E, and it's not because of me. Our destiny is greatness. Why, E? Come on, brother.
Because God did it. Oh, I got it. Jesus. I got to take care
yes,
of my switches.
Sir.
I got it.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Woo,
sir.
It's switch
Woo.
Week. This is switch. This is this week is for my switches.
Oh,
I got it.
Yes, sir, because God did it. Hey, listen, I'm going to holler at y'all. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fly. Now, whether or not I fly today, that ain't up to me. But I sure tell you what, I'm ready to go. Got my luggage right. Got the right people coming with me. Okay, I got to get my switches right. Then we're going to get up out of here when God says so. All right, I'll get with y'all tomorrow. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. I'll holler. All righty, y'all get with you, bro.
Let's go.